Philippians, the fourth chapter. I want to read about three or four verses here. And when I read them to you, I want you to, they'll probably be familiar to you. I want you to see if there's any particular verse in here that you have leaned on maybe in times of trouble, or if it's been, if there's any scripture in here that has stayed in your mind for a period of time and you've dwelt on it and studied on it and thought about it. And I'm going to start reading in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." That means to be full of care, or to not be anxious. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that was four verses there. And as I read through that, did anything go off in your mind and say, you know what, I've thought about that verse before, I've needed that verse before, or that verse is important to me? And chances are, you probably looked at verse 6, maybe verse 7. Verse 6 talks about to not be anxious, but to take your concerns and your supplications in prayer before the Lord and make those things known to Him. And, you know, that's a verse that a lot of times people that are struggling with some anxiety or doubt or are worried about some things, a lot of times they'll lean on those verses. I know I have. Verse 7 is probably the one that stands out to me the most, where it talks about a peace that just kind of surpasses our own ability to even comprehend. That type of peace, that level of peace, you may be thinking about times of great tragedy when people that were affected by those tragedies just seemed to be walking tall and with a great comfort and great peace that our fleshy mind has trouble understanding. It is literally a peace that doesn't make sense to us. It's a peace that they shouldn't have, and as the Bible says, it passeth all understanding. So certainly that would be a verse that we would also lean on in times. But the verse that I wanted to look at tonight is in verse 5, which I presented it to you that way just to kind of make the point that verse 5, I think a lot of times, is overshadowed by verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7 can be so comforting to us about worries and anxieties and peace and things like that, that a lot of times when we read in verse 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." I guess I'd say it doesn't get enough attention. And so I wanted to look at verse 5 tonight and go through there and try to just go through the Word of God and look at what verse 5 is actually saying. And I think it's very profitable for us, especially in today's time. So it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." So I want to go through and look at what the word moderation means, for certainly. But when it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men," I think there are things that, you know, maybe in a sinful type way, I guess, a prideful type way, there are things that maybe we like to be known for. There may be, just maybe there's a doctor that he wants to be known as, when you hear his name, you immediately begin to think that is an outstanding doctor. Or maybe there's somebody who is a great athlete, and they want their athletic ability to be known to all men. When their name is brought up, they want to be known as the athlete, the doctor, maybe the great builders, the great whatever, you name it. That there are things about us, you know, I don't really have anything. Sometimes I wish I do. Like, I need something. I need to be known for something. I'm just kind of an average person. Nothing spectacular about me. But you think, well, what could I be known for? Most people are not going to say, well, that guy, I can tell you, is a man of moderation. You know, even if you said that, most people are like, I don't even know what that means. So when it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men," above our athletic ability or our professions or whatever it is. Maybe you want to be known for, you know, being a tremendous speaker. The Bible does not instruct us to make those things known to all men. But the Bible does tell us that our moderation should be known to all men. And so when you look at the word moderation there, it basically is broken down into two different definitions, I guess you could say. One way to define moderation there is gentleness. And the other way to define moderation is balance. Both of those words are what the Lord is describing here with this word moderation: gentleness and balance. And so I want to look at those two specific definitions and get a little bit better idea of what moderation means. And if and we can ask ourselves, is that something that I'm exercising? Is that something that if somebody was in a conversation and my name was brought up, would the gentleness and the balance in life that I have be something that they were familiar with, they knew about me, and they would be able to say, you know, say those things about us? And so gentleness, if you think about the term gentleness, which is all throughout the Bible, and the in Galatians, the fifth chapter, you actually read about gentleness being the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that when we are born again by the Spirit of God, and as the Bible says, He writes His laws in our hearts, and He gives us a new spirit and a new heart, and we're no longer a dead, alien sinner, not uninterested in the things of God. We become something that is vital and alive spiritually, that we are able to begin to produce a spiritual type gentleness. And so as I thought more about that, the definition for gentleness would be to be mild or to be benign. And, you know, I thought, for some reason, when I thought about this, I thought about a good picture of something that is mild is it's kind of silly, but, you know, if you ever go out and you eat wings, and you can go to different places and you can get a menu and they're going to have wings. And it's funny how, you know, used to, it seemed like it was, you had three choices. You either got mild or hot, or, you know, maybe like an extra hot. But now if you get a menu, you look at it, well, they've got, you know, mild, hot, extra hot, then, you know, like brain buster and nuclear and atomic. I mean, just, you know. So I was watching a video a while back of a guy that was eating, you know, the supposedly the hottest sauce you could get. And so this guy, he was going to try to eat 12 wings in under so many minutes. And so, covered in the hottest sauce that you could get. So this guy, this is so ridiculous, but this guy had to put gloves on, and he had to coat the outside of his face right there with, you know, kind of a barrier. And he had to spend the first half of the time he had to eat them cutting the meat off the bones, because he couldn't risk that spice getting on the outside of his face or his hands, because it was so hot it would give him spice burns. And I just thought, and he did it, you know, it may have been, you know, may have been pulling the wool over eyes or something, but I just thought, you know, and he starts to eat it and he's just sweating, you know, and his nose is running and he is just suffering. That's not mild. When I go to wings and I get wings to eat, I get the mild. And I can just sit there and eat them just as pleasant as could be, and I don't have to put gloves on or anything like that. But I looked at this guy and I said, that is the far opposite end of mild. It's aggressive, there's suffering there, and it's just not a picture of something calm. But gentleness is something mild. Another definition for gentleness is benign. We're all very familiar with that. For those of us that have been, you know, had to struggle through cancer, or know that people that have struggled through cancer, you hope when the test results come back, you hope that what you hear about the biopsy they took is the word benign, meaning that this is not going to hurt you, as opposed to something that is malignant, that is vicious, and something that you're going to have to battle and possibly could kill you. The word gentleness there means mild, and it means benign, and it's something that we're absolutely called to be. As children of God, you know, when you think about, it's in 2 Timothy that I believe it is, where it's talking about the servant of the Lord. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle unto all men. A servant of the Lord must not strive. He's to be apt to teach, and he's to be gentle unto all men. In, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is writing the church at Thessalonica, and in the, I think it's the second chapter there, he's giving kind of a recap of his time with them. And he talks about, you know, that, you know, we came to you, we weren't greedy, you know, we weren't trying to do this for ourselves, we were doing this to serve the Lord, and we weren't doing it for our own glory. And he's kind of giving them a recap of those things, and he says to them, and if you remember, he says, we were gentle with you. And he even compares it to, as a nurse cherisheth her baby. He says that that's the kind of gentleness that we had with you. So not only is it a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also, you know, it's something that we should exercise when we're dealing with each other, is that gentleness. Now, gentleness is not ever going to, as one commentator I read said, gentleness is never going to insist on every right. Now, I want you to think about today's time and the people that we interact with and that we deal with and that we see in the media. There's a great movement since the fall, but you see it so much now, that it's all about me. It's about my rights. But gentleness does not insist on every right. Gentleness is okay sometimes getting the short end of the stick. Okay, if I could say it that way. Gentleness is not entitled. Gentleness is not contentious. You know, the Bible speaks about a contentious woman, you know, that it's like just a continual dripping. Gentleness is not like that. Gentleness is not a nagging and a constant push to get something for yourself. Gentleness is something that is courteous and that yields to other people. The Bible speaks about that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. And, you know, I've tried to teach our children, the boys and the girls, that anytime you walk into a door, you always look behind you and just make sure that nobody's coming. And if they are coming, you know, if it's within a reasonable distance, stand there and hold it for them. And I guess I've had my own personal study on that, watching people. And there'll be times that I'll be the one that holds the door, and maybe my family comes through, and there'll be, you know, several other people come through. Or maybe it's just me out by myself, and I open the door and I look behind me, and there'll be a few people coming. And there's been a lot of times that people have walked out, never looked me in the eye, never acknowledged me, never said thank you, and they just went on about their way. But then there's other times that there are people that come by, and I've noticed that it's the older generations that if they see somebody holding the door for them, they always seem to be very thankful. But the younger generations just almost seem like I owed it to them. And so when the Bible talks about gentleness and it means to yield yourself, one of the kids asked me the other day, we were driving, they said, what does it mean to yield? They were looking at a yield sign, and I tried to explain it. You know, that it means to just give way to somebody else. If you're driving and another person is driving and you kind of both got to go down the same path here, to yield means to hesitate and let the other person go first. A gentle spirit is one that yields. Now, I didn't primarily want to talk about gentleness, but if the word moderation means gentleness, if somebody were to mention your name to someone, are you known for your gentleness? Are you known for being somebody that's a little more harsh? I thought about Rehoboam in 1 Kings when he's taking over a kingship for Solomon, and it's one of his sons, and some of the people come to him and they say, look, life under your dad was difficult at times, and we're just asking you, do you, do you see fit to maybe lighten that load a little bit? And so he makes a very poor decision in that he does not listen to the wise counsel and elders that walk with his father. He lets the young people come along and influence him. And they basically tell him, you need to be harsh with them, which is the exact opposite of gentleness. You need to be harsh with them. And so Rehoboam goes to him and says, look, you know, my dad whipped you with this, but I'm going to whip you with scorpions. And my dad did this, and I'm going to make it that much worse. And it did not turn out well for him. I know people that when their name is brought up, I almost find myself recoiling, getting a little bit tense because they are harsh people. There's no gentleness with them. And you know, if something doesn't quite go their way, you just prepare yourself for the conflict. That's harshness. I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't want to be known as the guy that's always yelling at people. I don't want to be known as the guy that's always mad or is always mean to somebody or always gets his feathers ruffled if he doesn't get his way. I don't want to be known as the guy that says, hey, we pulled up here and we're both let me go first. I don't want to be known as that guy. I don't want to be known as the guy that you know, two people, which have you ever noticed, you get out of your cars in the parking lot and another guy gets out about the same time and you're kind of walking towards the door and you're like, all right, who's going to get here first? And it gets kind of awkward. I want to be the guy that yields and says, let me trot up here quicker and grab this door and let you in. I want to yield to you because that's a sign of gentleness. I don't want to be the guy that runs up there and opens the door and goes in first and just let it slam in the guy's face. So the Bible says, let your moderation or let your gentleness, let your mild behavior be known unto all men. Don't you love to have those type of people in your life? Now, some people are just naturally more gentle than others. Tiffany's told me, you know, for years and years and years that the way you think you're coming across is not how you're coming across. And because, you know, for whatever reason, I can be, you know, in the best mood and happy and everything's fine, but I need to, you know, to address something. And, you know, I'll address it. And apparently it wasn't quite as gentle as I thought it was. But then there's other people that could come up to me and say, Luke, you're just a terrible person and I hate your guts. And they just have such a gentle way about them. You just want to be, well, thank you, you know? I mean, really, so some of us struggle a little more with it than others, but that's what I want to be known for. I want somebody to say, he is a gentle man. Now, what I really want to talk to you about is the second definition of it, because I feel like this is what's afflicting our societies, our generations that we have now, and that's the definition of moderation that means balance. And one picture that I thought of about that is, there he is, Brother Harold here. He can tell you more about it than I can. But your tires on your vehicle, they need to be balanced, meaning that they need to spin in such a way that they're everything's evenly distributed and they're spinning as true as they can be. You have to have your tires balanced. And I have driven a vehicle before whose tires were not in balance. And depends on how bad they're out of balance, you can feel it sometimes in the steering wheel. And you're going to, and your steering wheel is just vibrating, or you can feel it maybe in your seat or in the floorboard. It's just a very uncomfortable, rough ride when your tires are not balanced. The one indication that other than how smooth your drive is that you'll notice your tires begin to wear out quicker than they should. They have uneven wear patterns, and the wear and tear on them takes a toll, and their lifespan is shortened more than it should have been. And so when you think about balance, I want you to think about that, because when we get things out of balance, most of the time you will find some turbulence in your life, like the steering wheel. you will find maybe things are not rolling along as smoothly as they should be. You will find maybe things begin to wear out quicker than they should be, like relationships or mindsets, if things are out of balance. Now, in order for things to be in balance with us, we have to, as children of God, and this is where it gets hard because you got to die a little bit to self, we have to avoid excess. And that's difficult sometimes for us to do. The Bible speaks about excess in the book of Proverbs, if I can remember it correctly, it says, "Hast thou found honey?" It says, "Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit." Did you get that? So it says this, hey, you found something good? You found honey? Let me give you some advice. Eat just enough that's sufficient for you. Because if you go into that with an excessive mindset and you just gorge yourself on it, it's going to turn around and it's going to make you sick, and that relationship between you and that honey is going to deteriorate quickly, and you're going to get sick. The Bible also says, which is one of my favorite sections in Proverbs, where the writer there says, Lord, don't give me too much. And he says, but don't give me too little. Sounds like balance, doesn't it? Don't give me too much, but don't give me too little. He says, feed me with food convenient for me. Because, Lord, if you give me too much, I'm going to forget you. But if you give me too little, I'm going to end up stealing. And he says, so just give me what's convenient for me. Those are two wonderful pictures of balance and avoiding excess. But our nature is to want to go and get, you know, all that we can of a good thing. Is it not? I want to give you some examples here of balance, moderation. And I'm guilty of most all of these. I'll start with my own self. There should be a balance in preaching. There are multiple different things that I can preach about. Brother Tim can preach about. We can preach to you about doctrine. We can preach to you about some practical things. We can preach to you about things that maybe sting a little bit, and maybe as we hopefully let the Word of God, you know, rip some things out of your life that don't need to be there. There may can be sermons that we use to build you up. But if all I ever did was, and Brother Tim, if all he ever did was stand up here and preach, let's say, doctrine, and that's the only thing you ever heard, this church would eventually wear out, just like those tires. And a lot of times it would be a pretty bumpy road, a pretty rough ride. And from what I've heard in some conversations with people that have been among the Primitive Baptists for a long time is, you know, decades and decades and decades ago, that's kind of the rut they got into, was it was only ever doctrine. And maybe that's one of the reasons that the Primitive Baptist churches are not as healthy as they once used to be. Maybe if there were to have been some doctrine, but also some sermons on marriage, and some sermons on raising children, and some sermons on how the church should function as a body, and sermons on forgiveness. I mean, the Word of God has an endless array of sermons in it. But there needs to be a balance in the preaching. And hopefully, Brother Tim and myself, hopefully you could say their moderation is known among the congregation because they keep it balanced. What about, here's a big one. What about sports? Youth sports. Way out of balance. Now, we play sports. You know, my children are involved in those activities. But I've noticed them in that world, things have gotten way out of balance. I was talking last year to a person that, some of you younger guys can be more exact, but Major League Baseball, they probably play, what is it, Jack, 160, 70 games a year, something like that, a lot of games. I was talking with a guy last year, maybe it was the year before that, and we were talking about baseball, and he said, yeah, my son, well, he was seven at the time, he said, my son played 85 games last year. 7 years old. That's half of a major league season. And he played on five different teams. And he was 7 years old. And I just thought, and for some reason that really stuck with me, and it kind of hurt my heart a little bit, because it's excess. There's no balance there. No seven-year-old should be playing 85 baseball games. But it was this drive, well, the kid down the street's going to be playing 85, so in order for me to keep up, I got to play 85. And it just spirals out of control. When I was growing up, you played on one team. And you played 12, 14, 15 games until you got maybe into high school. And then you might play 20 or 25. But, you spent 6 or 8, 9 weeks playing baseball, 12 or 15 games, and that was the end of it. Well, now it's, we're going to play on this team, and then when this is over, we're going to go to this team. When this is over, we're going to play on these two teams. And I can't tell you the number of moms and dads that I've talked to that said, we are just so worn out. And I want to be like, well, stop going. Stop signing up for everything. But it's just that I can't let my kid fall behind. But there has got to be a balance in our sports. You know, and there are 100 different teams I could probably take Jack and Hank and try out for, and we could go constantly and wear ourselves out. But the most precious, and to me, the most valuable time that I have as a father and with my family is when we are at home doing nothing. That's the most valuable time, because that's when conversations start. That's when we get to talk. Tiffany and I get to hear them and get little looks into the windows of their soul based on what we're hearing them say. Whether they realize it or not, we listen to them talk. We can hear what they're struggling with. We know what their likes are, what their dislikes are. And it is that time is priceless. But I can't do that if we're never together. And so the scales, the balance is there. I've just noticed that among youth sports, now from the time you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you got to play 3 sports a year. You got to constantly be practicing, and you got to be on multiple different teams on some of those sports. And the scales are tipped way in one direction. What are you known for? Are you known for being the person who never misses an opportunity to put their kid in some league? Are you known for that? Or are you known for moderation and balance? Are you known for, yes, they're involved in that, but they don't let it get out of hand? Think about it. Balance. What about discipline and grace? Shouldn't that be a balance right there? Shouldn't there be some moderation and discipline and grace? As the kids were growing up, there would be times that, you know, there were certain rules that we would set, and, you know, this is, you know, something we're going to do or not going to do. And, you know, sometimes they would disobey those rules, and there would be, you know, some discipline that had to be handed down. And I can remember on multiple occasions, there would be some disobedience there, and I would sit down with the kids and we would talk to them, and I could just tell that their heart was already broken, that they were just begging for repentance in their spirit. And in those moments, I would just tell the kids, and plus it gave me a fantastic opportunity to teach them what grace is, to just sit there and say, I'm going to give you grace, and here's what grace means. And we would talk about it, hug, love you, pray with them, and the issue would be resolved, you know. And there were times after that they learned what grace was, that they would come up to me with just a broken spirit I can remember them saying with tears in their eyes and said, Dad, can I just have a little grace in this matter? And it didn't always work. But if all I ever did, listen now, if all I ever did was overlook their disobedience, I would create monsters. And your kids would be monsters too. If all I ever did was discipline them and just constantly crack a whip and never give them moments of grace, I would break their spirits and it would affect them. Discipline and grace, there has to be moderation there. There has to be moderation in sports. There has to be moderation in our preaching. There has to be moderation in our hobbies. I can remember I grew up, and I still do, grew up loving to hunt and fish. And I can remember my dad telling me when Tiffany was pregnant with Emma, I can remember my dad telling me, he said, it was after she was born, and he watched me operate as a father. And he said, I used to be really worried that you were going to let hunting and fishing just always take priority, even when other things came along like marriage and family and all that. And he said, I'm glad to see that it was not. But I can tell you that I know plenty of people where that still is their priority. That hobbies, maybe it's not hunting and fishing, but where hobbies are so important to a person that they do it in such excess that things out here are neglected. When it comes time to gather together and worship, I don't need to be in a deer stand. And if I get to where I'm constantly doing that, all of a sudden things get out of balance and I look around and I'm like, things just don't seem to be running right in my life. Or, my relationships with the people at church, they just don't seem to be what they used to be. It's because something's out of balance. And it's not working like it should. I wrote down a long list of this, but I'm not going to go through all of them. Husbands and wives, parents and children, friends. There needs to be a balance of talking and listening. There needs to be a balance of hearing instruction and receiving instruction. If you're the person that's only ever giving people instruction, but you never stop to take it in yourself, something's out of balance. Work, what you labor in, your career. There are guys that just invest everything they've got into their career, and, they're working just an untold number of hours per week while their family sits over here and just kind of deteriorates. Because there's a balance there. Now, at least I can't, where I'm at now in this stage of life, you also can't sit at home all the time. I have to get up and go to work, or, we don't have power or water. There's a balance there. So, when the Bible tells us to let your moderation be known unto all men, maybe you could say it this way. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. Let your desire to yield to others and to put other people first be known to all men. Let your mild conversation and your mild way of living, people talk about being mild-mannered. Let your emotions be so mild that people would say, I recognize that about him. You don't want to be the person who, if I say or do just the tiniest wrong thing, emotion explosion. Let those things be known. Let your balance be known to all men. Let people say, yes, they're involved in this, but they keep it balanced. Yes, he preaches on doctrine, but yes, they preach on this. Yes, he talks, but yes, he listens. Yes, he gives instructions, but yes, he receives instructions. Yes, he works, but he also takes plenty of time with his family. Balance. It seems like nowadays we get tunnel vision and we get honed in on one thing, maybe like the sports that I mentioned. And parents, they're so hyper-focused on their kid being the best. And the reason that is because when a person's child does good at something, it makes the parent feel good. It's a good feeling. I like it when the girls have a good run. I like it when the boys do good in baseball. I like those. It makes me feel good. But you got to be careful that I don't continue to push them and push them and push them because I like the way it makes me feel. And so you have to have the balance. And guess what? Your kid might fall behind. Who cares? Who cares? So when it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, think to yourself and ask yourself those questions. Am I gentle? Am I mild? Do I keep things balanced? Do I have things I enjoy, but I don't let it get so carried away that it affects this over here? And I think what you'll find is a much smoother ride in life. And the relationships that you have and the things that you're involved in will not deteriorate like they would when things are out of balance. So the next time you go to Harold's and you start talking tires, make sure they're balanced. Because if they're not, this sermon is probably going to come to your mind. And you're going to go down the road with your steering wheel vibrate and you think, my goodness. I remember that sermon by Brother Luke that I got to keep things balanced. I hope that's been profitable for you.